The following presentation is controversial and may be offensive to some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Radio from the heart of America.
The Chad Olson Show. Chad Olson Show.
The Chad Olson Show starts now.
S-O-S.
America is back. Standing tall.
As of now, I am in control here in the White House.
Stupid people are ruining America. It's sad.
I hope it'll be all over television, radio, and the newspapers.
I would like to take all the credit for this, but I can't.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
The Chad Olson Show. Chad Olson Show. Hey! Chad Olson Show.
First of all, Your Honor, this was the subject of a motion. I'm well aware of that. And the court left the door open.
For me, not for you.
My understanding of
you should have come and asked. For reconsideration, you did on the one motion, and in fact, I granted your motion for reconsideration.
That was
excuse
not
me,
our motion.
Excuse me. I did. I granted.
We did not move
that
for reconsideration.
That was their motion.
We have not filed any motions to reconsider in this case.
That was their motion for reconsideration, which I denied. But I said I denied it, or I indicated a bias towards denial is what I did. Held it open with a bias towards denial. Why would you think that that made it okay for you without any advance notice to bring this matter before the jury? I was astonished when you began your examination by commenting on the defendant's post-arrest silence. That's basic law. It's been basic law in this country for 40 years, 50 years. I have no idea why you would do something like that. And it gives, I'll leave it at that.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
The Chad Olson Show.
And I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. Oh, Lord.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the natural consequences, if you're a litigator, if you're a prosecutor, and you take a case to trial without evidence that supports your case, the only thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to get humiliated by a conscientious, constitutionally vigilant judge, and that is exactly what is happening to poor little George Soros acolyte Thomas Binger in the this prosecution of Kyle Rittenhouse for a clear case of self-defense during the Kenosha riots in George Soros' 2020 Summer of Rage. And as we discussed yesterday, and I fully believe this, prosecution doesn't care if they win this case. This is just another convenient piece of political theater to justify more street violence, which is more useful to them. From an object standpoint, it's much more useful for Democrats to have rioting and burning and, you know, maybe a few more people will be killed. Maybe a few more teenagers can be, they can attempt to kill a few more teenagers and we'll have just endless processionary of this kind of thing happening because it is the chaos that is so valuable to them from a political standpoint and they can cast themselves as Thomas Binger is today. After the proceedings yesterday where he was just eviscerated by the judge. He lights into Kyle Rittenhouse, calling into question and trying to impeach Kyle Rittenhouse on the basis that he hadn't said anything about his case since he was arrested. Most likely on the advice of counsel. And as we know, if you're Mirandized in the event of an arrest, first thing they say to you, everybody's watched the cop shows. You have the right to remain silent. First and foremost, in the instructions from the judge at the start of the trial, it is held sacrosanct that defendants, first and foremost, have the ability and the right not to incriminate themselves through their own testimony. The prosecution clearly is in so far over their head. And you look into Thomas Binger, the prosecutor in this case, you look into him just a little bit. There are pictures of him dressed in things that I don't want to misgender the poor chap, but it becomes very clear why he has such a fascination and an affection for the SJW cultural Marxist idiots that burned this nation's inner cities during the entirety of the summer 2020 in their vigilance and their love of George Floyd. The fentanyl addict who died of an overdose in police custody and set the nation on fire in the most effective Democrat fundraiser in the history of that party, despite the fact that they have the least popular candidate that they've ever run for the highest office in the land. So every single bit of this has been political object lesson. This is political theater. It's Kabuki Theater 101. I believe Thomas Binger wants a mistrial in this case. I believe Thomas Binger is angling as blatantly as he possibly can without making it completely obvious. I believe he's angling for a mistrial because he knows they have botched this prosecution. The witnesses that have come in, the prosecution witnesses have buttressed and have reinforced and have absolutely cemented the truth and the reality of this, which is that Kyle Rittenhouse was in danger of his life. Yeah, the stupid boy with the Glock who got his bicep blown into oblivion, who admitted openly that he was only shot by Kyle Rittenhouse after he pointed his own pistol at Kyle Rittenhouse's head. So this is the predictable outcropping of a prosecutor who's doing his best to fulfill the wishes of the idiot woke mob in America and in that jurisdiction, feels that he's going to be given all of these virtue plaudits and moral epaulets on the basis of the fact that he brought this prosecution when not to borrow a line from James Comey, but when no reasonable prosecutor would have pursued this case against a 17-year-old boy who had to shoot his way out of otherwise being beaten to death on the streets of Kenosha by this rabble mob of pedophiles, wife abusers, and four-time loser felons. Amazing, you shoot three or four people at one rally and you come up with four felons, a child rapist, a wife beater, a drug dealer. And they cast these people as the victims in this situation when they very clearly, oh, and by the way, a couple of card-carrying communist losers who say things like, long live the revolution. Long live the revolution. These are failures at life. These are people who never applied themselves to anything. They can't accomplish or succeed on the basis of the rules of what a meritocracy, how a meritocracy functions, so they want to burn it all down because they've made mistakes in their own life that prevent their success. They can't get out of their own way, and so they have to burn down civilization and society in order to try to make something that allows them to not feel so bad about the failure of their own life. That's Antifa in a nutshell. The millennial doomkoffs who run around in their little Antifa black pajamas because they still live in mommy and daddy's basement and they know that there's no financial exit ramp for them to gain their own independence, to find some semblance of self-esteem that's not based on their TikTok thong collection. You simply cannot make this up. This is the worst generation in human history. And it is absolutely no wonder that they gravitate to Marx and Engels rather than to Adam Smith and belief in themselves and their competence to be able to use their own time, talent, and volition to find something that resembles a successful life. They're not capable of it, so they need to change the rules and burn down civilization and then blame it on carbon and grandma and grandpa and mom and dad for not being wizened and wise enough to delve into the blithering wokeism of this stupid generation. Tom Cotton on Fox News this morning talking about the obvious stance of this case against Kyle Rittenhouse.
But it did not look like a very good day for the prosecution over the last few days when their own witnesses are in essence outlining and establishing the factual basis for. But I want to focus on what Joe Biden said last year, which is calling this young man a white supremacist based on a few seconds of video. As I often say, when there's a shooting like this, you shouldn't jump to conclusions based on some video circulating in social media. You should allow all the facts to be collected and make a reasoned judgment. But when Joe Biden called Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist last year, it really was just the go-to move of the Democrats. They do this all the time when they're losing an argument on the merits. They don't like parents going to school boards to protest what their kids are learning or school closures, so those parents are called racists.
Yeah.
They don't like that Virginians elected Republicans last week.
Stop it.
They condemn Virginian voters.
Stop it right there. Tom Cotton, it goes even deeper than what Tom Cotton has touched on. Yes, they use the racial tropism as a stand-in for debate skill, and they're always lacking a non-affinity for Socratic method. It's the Band-Aid to cover every shortcoming that they have, but when Joe Biden comes out and says this, this is the start of the war on patriots, the ideological breadcrumb laying, the Hansel and Gretelizing of laying this message out about patriots. Anybody who stands up against Antifa, the SJW woke mob, BLM, anybody who stands up against destruction of private property and the burning down of businesses and the onslaught against peaceful citizenry, anybody who stood up against that, automatically they were to be labeled, and the playbook had already come down, we were all to be labeled domestic insurrectionist, white supremacist terrorist. This is the Charlottesville riot. It's the Charlottesville playbook. And it has been, remember how many times Joe Biden mentioned Charlottesville during the 2020 campaign? And I don't need to go all the way back through it. I've laid out the detail of what Charlottesville was, how it was organized, the people behind it, the way that it was formulated and put together. So you had these disparate groups. Yeah, the white supremacists, they call the white supremacist groups on one phone and they say, hey guys, we're having a wonderful get together. Why don't you all come down? And then they call Trump supporters and the two, unbeknownst to each other, arrive in exactly the same place. Oh, and then by the way, you have Antifa dressed up like Gadsden flag carrying Tea Party members, just to make sure that you add enough salt to the sauce and enough seasoning to the imagery to impugn and try to link Donald Trump to white supremacy. And that was the playbook of Charlottesville. Jason Kessler, bless his little heart. Jason Kessler, former operative for Secret Strategic Services, one of the black ops law firms for the DNC, Democrat National Committee. They were put out of business because of repeated and egregious financial malfeasance and their lack of compliance with FEC stipulations. But Jason Sechrest, the organizer of the Charlottesville rally, he put the thing together. He called the white supremacist groups and he called the Trump supporters, got them all together on the same soil, and there you go, shake and bake. Then every Trump supporter is painted with the brush of, well, look, these people hang out together. These people hang out together. They must love and agree with each other. Meantime, the two groups are standing there looking at each other thinking, what in the holy hell are you even doing here? And then, of course, the thing devolves and dissolves into chaos. You have the Antifa, the dressed up Antifa belligerents kicking the thing off, and it ends in the death of a citizen journalist, which, of course, makes it a deadly day in the same way that January 6th is the deadly insurrection. This is the playbook on repeat. And Joe Biden has never deviated from the facility of that plan, which is every single Trump supporter, every MAGA member, every libertarian, every Trump populist is a domestic insurrectionist, white supremacist terrorist. They were all at Charlottesville. January 6th was a racial event. Oh, and Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist, don't you know? Tom Cotton.
They don't like the United States Constitution or the norms and the customs of the United States Senate, so they call it racist. they are constantly losing arguments with the American people, and then they just revert to name-calling towards their opponents. It's not a sign of a party that is strong or healthy.
Well, and he got that last part absolutely right. And prosecution against Kyle Rittenhouse is not strong nor healthy either. He's angling for a mistrial. He wants burning in the streets and preferably some blood to flow as well so that they can all cast themselves as victims. Oh, and then I'm sure they'll have plenty to say about the old white judge who had the temerity to actually uphold the constitutional rights of Kyle Rittenhouse during this kangaroo court prosecution of a 17-year-old boy. It's obvious stuff. Thoughts and prayers for Kyle, and you're a patriot and absolutely engaged only in self-defense that spared his life. Kyle Rittenhouse wouldn't be here today if he'd not shot his way out of that rabble mob. Chad Olson Show, SOS Radio Network.
Chad Olson Show.
Last year, I was on 120 different radio interviews, and I've got to tell you that you're the best. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not flattering you. I want a promise from you that when you have your own national television show, that you don't forget AMAC and Dan Weber and you have us on.
The Chad Olson Show.
You're a patriot, but even you're an intelligent patriot who can communicate, and that's so important.
The Chad Olson Show.
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.